The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
This is Kyle Folks from Hope Community Church in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Hey, everyone. My name's Matthew McCabe.
And my name's Steve Anderson. This is episode 57.
57. Here we are.
That's Heinz.
Oh, that's right. Heinz.
That's a Pittsburgh thing.
That is a Pittsburgh thing. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That makes me happy.
Well, good morning, Steve Anderson. How are you on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay.
Just okay?
Just okay.
Yeah, why so?
It's the Monday after our fall kickoff.
Yeah, you're in post event like crash mode, aren't you?
You know, when I got home, I was really, really tired, but wound up. You know how you are.
Yeah.
And so this morning I woke up, I felt really good, and then about 30 minutes ago, while we're prepping for this show, I'm like, oh my gosh,
started
the crash is coming.
Here it comes.
Yeah. So we had our kickoff yesterday. Big Color Fest theme. Had a bunch of tie-dye stations and a ton of food and a lot of kids. And it was great. It was a beautiful day here in Maryland.
Oh, it was perfect yesterday. Could not have been better.
It was really great.
I have to ask, because when last time we were recording,
okay,
your staff was bringing in a baby pool and 60 pounds of knockoff cereal. So whatever happened with that, and did it go well? And is this something you think you can package and sell?
It went fine. I would not package and sell it.
Okay,
let's say that. So because it was Color Fest theme, we had each class, each grade wear a different color. And then we had tie-dye. And we had rainbow sherbet out for the kids to eat with other stuff. But we thought, well, what else is colorful? Well, cereal's colorful. So we bought all this cereal, put it in a kiddie pool, and then the kids could get free cereal and milk as part of the... It was okay.
It was okay. It was all right.
If you go up to the upper parking lot right now here, there's Fruity Pebbles all
everywhere.
There's
going to be a flock of turkey vultures out there just all hopped up on sugar.
We also have a bunch of bags left over. So, you know, if anybody needs some cereal, hit us up. Otherwise, we're going to be eating this for like the next 4 years.
I wonder how much food is consumed in America, in youth ministry,
wow,
on kickoff night. Because I feel like everybody's like big blowout kickoff has something to do with food.
Absolutely.
I mean, over at our place, yesterday was our kickoff day too. Uh-huh. Middle school in the morning is Waffle Palooza.
Oh, nice.
So just a waffle bar like you can't believe. And then last night for high school was Taco Palooza.
Okay.
So just tacos galore. And so
yes,
you think across the country, what was eaten last night at fall kickoffs? All across the country.
What's worse is what wasn't eaten. So we had hot dogs and walking tacos, and we didn't know how much food the kids would eat. So I hate to run out, so we always have more than we need. So I've got a refrigerator full of cooked hot dogs and taco meat. We did walking tacos.
Oh.
And my wife made a whole pan. We had like 10 pans of taco meat, and I think 6 of them went home.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well,
going to be eating tacos for a while.
Again, better to have too much than not enough, though.
I guess so.
There you go.
Feel bad. But
yeah,
if you need any cereal, man, hit me up. You probably don't eat Fruity Pebbles, do you?
Not a Fruity Pebbles guy, no.
I haven't had Fruity Pebbles since I was 10.
I was going to say, probably last time I had that, I was single digits, maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah.
More of a Captain Crunch guy now that I've, you know, matured.
Oh, man, that's like hard on the roof of the mouth.
Yeah, it is.
They're good, though.
So good.
It is.
Sweetened corn cereal. What could go wrong?
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, we had a good kickoff.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good stuff over at our place as well. We hope that everybody out there who's, you know, I know this episode's releasing in a little while, but by then you're off to the races, and we just hope that your student ministry fall is off to a rip-roaring start.
Yeah, you know, I was really proud of my student leaders yesterday because they all showed up early and helped us set up, and we took the place from, you know, completely unready to completely ready in about 2 hours.
Wow, that's good. Because
we had church yesterday, obviously.
So you can't set up ahead of time,
right? So we had to set up after that, and I'm just so proud of them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great, great morning.
We had so many people involved yesterday, too, from volunteer leaders to student. Our high school kids made the waffles for the middle school kids morning, and you know, there were just all kinds of people involved in, you know, prepping the tacos and everything else for the evening, and it's just fun to see everybody come together. Everybody's excited. There's energy, and man, it was just, it was a good day.
I love this time of year. It's the best time of year in youth ministry for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So today, as we continue on with episode 57. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for.
Oh, it's time for.
Sherpas.
Say what?
Residents of Ontario, Canada, were perplexed because there seemed to be raccoons that were acting a little weird.
What's with you and animals?
I'm all about the animal
you
stories.
You have vultures, now it's with raccoons.
Now it's with raccoons.
Okay.
Amelia Rogers said she arrived home Monday to find a raccoon stumbling around her backyard. He just really couldn't move well. He was dragging. He was wobbling. It was hard to say what happened.
Uh-oh.
Well, turns out.
He been drinking?
So a animal control officer stopped by Julie Fong's house and said that it seemed that the raccoons, because of the heat, the fruit in the neighborhood was fermenting.
Oh.
And so the raccoons were actually intoxicated.
That's awesome.
And resident Julie said, so that's why this guy was kind of sleeping it off under our deck. There was a drunk raccoon in our deck. Later in the article, it talks about, they talked to a biologist at a university who said, don't give him coffee to try to help him out. Just let it work itself out. I don't know that I would ever think.
To give a raccoon coffee.
To give a raccoon coffee because he looked intoxicated. So
probably not.
Anyway, let that be a lesson to everybody out there. Make sure the fermented fruit stays away from your students. We don't want anybody, you know, going getting suspended from school for eating a, you know, an apple that's been out too long.
No, really, Principal Jones. I'm not drunk.
I'm not drunk.
Just eating overripe plums.
Sure you are. Uh-huh. Get out of my office. Anyway.
All right. That's another edition of
Sherpa. Say what?
All right, so today,
episode 57,
we're going to talk about how to be a hero, not just to the parents, that was last episode, but also to
our students.
Yeah.
So here's our rendition of five ways. There are probably 100, but
sure,
it's a 30-minute episode. So five ways that you can be a hero to your students.
Yeah, so we're going to phrase these in a really simple way to remember. The first one is see them.
Yes.
See them.
We have to see them. And it sounds obvious because it is obvious, but it's also important that I believe students in general are lost in our culture.
Sure.
You know, they're overlooked, they're passed over. They many of them go to schools that have thousands and thousands upon students. Mm-hmm. It's just so easy to get lost in the crowd. And I think they feel that. I think they feel there's a loneliness there that I don't even know if anyone notices me.
And so this is, you know, youth ministry is a place that meets that need.
It should.
In a significant fashion. Yeah, it should. It should. Now, the challenge for me personally is I get in this mindset of I'm kind of running, maybe managing is a better word, this program with intentionality. But I'm thinking of the collective, right? I'm thinking of the big group.
You see the group.
And the things that need to happen for the group. That sometimes it's easy to overlook the individual in the midst of that. So that, to me, is a challenge for me to remember that.
Sure. I think it's a challenge for us as the people who are running it. But it's also a challenge to help equip our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, because we're managing the overall program and the collective and the group, we're limited in our ability to see individuals.
Right.
It's not that we can't do it, and we should be more challenged to be better at seeing the individuals in the midst of running the program. But we're going to have to help our volunteers to be able to see the importance, know the value of just noticing, just seeing a student and acknowledging, we see you.
Yeah.
We know you're here. We love that you're here. We're glad that you're here.
It's such a foundational aspect of being a good youth worker, which is simply to always remember that every kid who walks into our doors is made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And if we can just stop and see into their eyes and remember that they are these beautiful, wonderful creations of God, it changes our perspective about them. So, you know, the kids who are like driving us nuts, the flaky high school kids, the squirrely middle school kids, we look at them and we think, oh, this kid's driving me nuts. But to stop and remember, he or she is made in the image of God, is a powerful, powerful truth.
See them through that lens.
Yeah, as Jesus would see them.
Quirks and all, sure. Frustrations and all, they were created in the image of God, and they're just, they have great potential, and they have great worth, they have great value, and we need to see that.
And part of that is remembering that what we see in front of us today is not the end result. They're a work in progress.
Right. That's especially important in middle school and in early high school. But yeah. it's just as important when they're seniors that what we see is a work in progress.
So Heather Flees mentioned this when we interviewed her for the Sherpa Legends. She says she keeps her own yearbook on her desk to remind her of what she was like when she was in middle school.
It's brilliant.
In high school. Just remember what it was like to be that age again. It's hard. You know, the older we get, the harder it is to remember what it was like. When we can do that, put ourselves in their shoes and, you know, remember what we were like when we were 12 and 13, 17, it helps us, I think, see them a little bit more clearly.
Absolutely. Another thing that pops in my head when we're talking about this, and I don't even know totally where I land on this, so I'm just going to throw this out there for conversation there, Sherpa Steve, is this idea of, you know, we started this just talking about how important it is that we see them and that we value that as an individual, they are here.
Okay.
But yet we have this collective mindset, right, as the group leader. This idea of when we see a student who's there on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or whenever your group meets, but somebody we know they're connected to is not there.
Okay.
There's this tendency to be like, hey, Sally, where's Ruth?
Yeah.
Which is a collective mindset.
Right.
I care about Ruth. I wish Ruth were here. I want Ruth to be experiencing this, but what am I saying? I don't even know what name I gave that person. What am I saying to the person?
Right.
You know, is there a danger in asking about the other person that person thinks, does it not matter that I'm here?
You know, I do that with siblings all the time.
Yeah.
And you're right. Even, you know, it's probably worse when there's a twin, right? Where's your twin brother?
Where's your brother? They're one person.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And so I've often wrestled with that because I do. I care about the collective, and I kind of want to know, like, hey, where is, you know, name the student? And so you want to go to somebody who knows that student. It's like, hey, do you know anything about da 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 da?
Right.
But I believe there is a danger there. So we've got to think better, I think, about how we approach that or how we inquire where that student is. Maybe the answer is simply, we should just text that student and be like, hey, I missed you tonight. I mean, rather than asking somebody else because of the potential danger for that person to feel like they were overlooked. They were not seen.
Maybe it's just to flip the script in our head. And instead of thinking about the kid who's not there, look at it as an opportunity to have more of a conversation with the one who is.
The one who is there.
And really see them better.
Yeah. So,
okay.
See them. Yeah,
that's good. Second one.
We also need to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear our students.
Are you a good listener?
I want to
let
say
me ask
yes.
Gina. Let me ask Gina.
Right.
Gina, can I get her on the phone right now?
Yeah. I think that in the right circumstances, I'm a good listener. I think in the circumstances that we're speaking about, i.e. we're in the middle of running our youth program,
right
on an evening or a morning or whenever it is, I don't think I'm a good listener because I'm distracted. I'm thinking about what's next, or I'm talking to someone, but I see someone else.
Yes.
And so my eyes are averted, like, that's who I'm going to talk to next, but I think I'm not hearing the person in front of me because I've already moved on to the next conversation. if not mentally, I am physically. Yes, so convicting. It's not
I'm
good.
I'm thinking about, oh, I got to start the game. I got to make sure the slides are ready. I got to check in with the leaders. You know, I got to make sure the money's out for the snack bar. Like, you know, the thousand details that are swimming through my head.
Yep.
That I'm not really hearing. What the kid needs most isn't the snack bar.
Right. They don't need they don't need a Coke and a bag of Fritos. They need someone to hear what's happening in their life. And I think because of that, and I think this is true even of our volunteers, and this is a tough tension to live in because we are running a program that it leads to shallow conversations, you know? And I think that what our students need less of is less shallow conversations. They need more conversations that have meat to it, that have depth to it. And I think we as leaders need to become very adept at not just hearing the words that they're saying, but to hear past the words.
Yeah.
What's really going on? Because of the nature of shallow conversations in that environment, I think often our students are talking to us and they're telling us one thing, but they're really trying to tell us something else. And are we really hearing what's going on behind those words?
Here's a challenge, maybe a way to look at this as a leader. And if you're the primary leader, maybe just think about, can you go home every week from your youth meeting having had one of those conversations? Because you can't have it with everybody.
Right.
You just can't.
Yep, you don't have that capacity.
You can't. And so that's, you know, there's a lot of guilt that can really bury us in that. But, you know, if I'm thinking, if I can just have one of those conversations, if I can really hear one student this week, and if all of our volunteers are doing the same, then we'll have a greater effectiveness in that.
Absolutely. And I wonder if we also need to help our students tell us things that then we can hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the shallow conversations. Maybe we need to come to our student ministry meeting locked with a couple of really good questions that don't have yes or no answers, that really try to pull something out. Because I think that goes to what we just talked about. If we're asking really meaningful questions, they're seen.
Right.
And then if we actually take time to listen to what they say when we ask the question, they're seen and they're heard. And I think at that point in time, we're reaching hero status for our students, because there's not a lot of people in their lives that are that interested to both see them and then hear them.
One idea that I sometimes use, and I probably need to do it every week, is I carry around an index card and I'll just jot down a note from a conversation that I have so that I remember to ask that person the next time I see them about that conversation. Because, you know, you're having a thousand of them and it's hard to remember. But I want to remember. Like, I want to follow up with the student so that they know that I heard them. I want to prove to them that I heard them by remembering what they told me.
Remembering what we talked about.
Yeah, and I might have to write it down because I'm 54 years old.
You had a test coming up. You had a big game this week. You had a performance at
you had
the
an
band
argument
or
with your sister or your friend. Yeah, what happened with that? And so, you know, just little tricks maybe to remind ourselves to listen, to hear, and to remember.
I think another way we're a hero to our students on this hearing them is when we're able to hear them without reaction.
Mm.
You know, we're in a day and age where our students are struggling with really big things.
Yeah.
And when they actually take the time to share those really big struggles or things with us, are we able to hear them?
Yeah.
And just hear them, not hear them and react, whether that be, you know, non-verbally or even verbally, and just hear what they're saying without trying to fix or jump to conclusions. That's a big challenge, I think, for me, and I think it's a challenge even more in this day and age, just because I think the things they're struggling with just seem bigger.
When we were at the DYM conference last year and Marco was speaking, Marco Stryker, he gave a really good message about how to handle these really hard conversations, especially around sexual identity. And that was the first thing he said, was you have to listen without reaction.
Yeah.
Or without a negative reaction, at least, right? And that's not easy, but I think you're right. We have to be the kind of people who can hear whatever they have to tell us and not instantly rush to judgment or fix or whatever. So
because I think that will be different than what they're experiencing in many other aspects of their life when they have those. I think there's a lot of reactivity, you know, with parents, with teachers, with other people involved in their lives. We have an opportunity to be a different.
We're making it sound so easy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's just so easy. Just listen without reacting.
Just see them and listen. Just be great. Yeah, yeah, no, this is hard stuff.
It's hard stuff.
This is really about being Jesus in the presence of students.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's a really high calling. But that's
what we're called to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, what about the third one?
Yeah, the third one is to believe in them.
Yes. We're going to see them. We're going to hear them. We're going to believe in them.
We're going to believe in them.
What do you mean by believe in them? How would you define believing in them?
I think sometimes we gravitate towards the students who are maybe most popular or most outspoken or best up front, you know. Sometimes the ones who are really going to make great leaders are the ones who surprise us. And if we can identify some students that we see this kind of hidden potential in and call that out, I just think like that belief in them is incredible. Mm-hmm. We had a student a few years ago. He's 21 now. And when he was in like 10th grade, I remember going to his dad and saying, "Hey, I just really appreciate your son." He said, "Well, what is it that you appreciate about him?" Because he didn't see the leadership in him yet. And I said, "Well, he's just really willing to do whatever he's asked to do. He's ready to be used." And so we called him out into serving our tech team, and he ended up being employed by the church for a couple years.
Wow.
As a part-time tech director. I mean, the guy's just spectacular at that stuff. But it started with just kind of his availability and calling him out from that.
And believing.
And believe that he could do it.
Believing that he could do it.
Yeah. And it was powerful in his life. And I just think when we identify those kids and call them out and we believe in you.
Right.
That's powerful.
I mean, I think about when you hear, and I say famous people because these are the people you hear from in the news, and you know when they start unpacking their story, they'll often point to someone. And the mm-hmm. words, and they're mm-hmm. almost always the same. Their words are, this teacher, this coach, this fill in the blank,
yeah,
believed in me.
Right.
And that's what propelled me to whatever greatness, you know, whether we're interviewing an athlete or an actress or an actor or somebody, that they're going to point to someone who believed in them that propelled them to where they are today. And I think, man, how many students are walking around in our groups who need someone to propel them to greatness, to believe in them before they believed in themselves, mm-hmm. to believe in them in spite of other people vocally not believing in them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the high level of anxiety and depression that is plaguing our teenagers today, I don't think it's solved, but I think a big part of that is, are we speaking truth into people's lives?
Yeah.
Are we believing in them and speaking what we know to be true about them?
Yeah.
About who they are in Christ and about what their potential is because of God's involvement in their life. Are we speaking that into them? Are we believing that for them and propelling them to be great?
Yeah. One of our core essentials that we have on the wall of the Student Center is anything is possible. And, you know, that sounds so inspirational. Anything is possible.
Very inspirational. I can see a poster now.
But this is kind of the essence of what we mean by that. We believe in our students, and we believe that their potential to serve the kingdom of God is extraordinary. If they have the Holy Spirit living in them, then anything is possible, right?
Right.
Because that's what the Spirit does.
Yes.
He empowers people to serve his kingdom, and we believe in you. So we're going to tell students, we believe in you. I think the self-fulfilling prophecy of that carries a lot of weight.
In several of the legend interviews that we've done with youth workers who have received legendary, we've heard over and over again that when they were in high school, they were in middle school, somebody believed in their leadership ability. Somebody believed in their ability to offer something to the student ministry, and then look at where they are now.
Even in middle school.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
that
called
came,
out. Yeah.
That came across in, I think, almost every interview we've done,
mm-hmm.
that some version of, well, this person saw something in me and then spoke it into me and believed it in me before I even remotely believed it myself.
Yeah.
And then now we're interviewing them because they're a legend.
And if we can do that for a student, that is that's the ultimate.
That is so great. That would be so incredible.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We got a couple more.
Yep, number four. Not only are we going to see them and hear them and believe in them, but we are going to challenge them.
We are.
We are going to challenge them.
This could be the hard one.
This is a tough one. I've been struggling with this one mightily lately.
One of the things that we remind our youth leaders about on a regular basis here is that there are times when we have to be the headbanger. I've got this image of these two rams butting heads. We have to be the one who's willing to confront, challenge, maybe. And I don't say that in a negative sense. It may be that at times, but more so it's let's challenge them to really set the bar high.
Yeah.
Let's challenge them to go for it.
This is the one where the being our student's hero, I believe, is delayed.
Yeah.
Because when we challenge, quite often, we're not the hero in that moment. In fact, we're the jerk.
Right.
Because I feel like in our culture, we've really connected being challenged with negativity. Even though I think it's very clear in scripture and it's very obvious that challenging doesn't have to be negative. It can be very positive. Mm-hmm. It can be, no, I believe, and just what we talked about, I believe in more in you. So I'm not going to be satisfied with okay. I'm not gonna buy that. Well, they're just teenagers. Teenagers.
Boys will be boys.
I'm not gonna buy that. No, if we believe, and we've fought against this in student ministry for decades now, that the students are not the future of the church. They are the church now. If we believe that, then we have to challenge our students to step up to that.
Sure.
We can't play the, well, you know, they're just 16-year-olds, hormones. We can't have those excuses. We have to say, nope, I believe in more for you. And so I'm not going to be satisfied with this. I'm going to challenge you. And I don't think this is going to feel great to them at that moment. But I believe with all of my heart that down the road, they'll look back and they'll think, no, that guy's my hero or that gal's my hero because they challenged me to be a better version of myself. I think if we don't, they're going to look back and say, what did that guy or gal ever do for me? They just let me be a buffoon. What was that about?
One of my best friends at my old church years ago had grown up in that youth ministry. We were both volunteers in the youth ministry at the time, and he had grown up in that youth ministry. And I remember him telling me about how when he was in high school, he was just a knucklehead, and he was sitting in the back of the auditorium every week just talking and messing around and, you know, distracting everybody around him, just being a jerk. And one of the youth leaders, who we also knew mutually, challenged him and said, hey, when are you going to start taking this seriously? When are you going to just start taking your faith seriously? When are you going to live up to this? And it was like a hammer across the chin. And he woke up. And he kind of changed the course of his life. And he was a great youth leader at that time. And I just think, you know, we can do that for people. There's grace in that.
Has to be.
There's
got to
be a lot of grace.
This is super complicated.
It's not judgment.
Right, exactly. It's not judgment, and when we raise the bar, it's difficult, but doesn't mean we shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because I think to be a hero, we need to challenge them. We need to push them outside of their comfort zone and make them the better version, make them the person that God created them to be.
Because we really believe that that's the case.
Exactly.
That's who they can be.
And it's true for all of us. It's not just students. Like, we need people I need someone in my life saying, Matthew, that's not okay. You were meant for more than that. You need to be a better version of you, and I'm going to challenge you on that. You're one of my wife's favorite comments to me, and I love it. I don't love it all the time in the moment, is I'm going to challenge you on this. And that's when she's about to say, like, hey, I love you. I love you. I absolutely love you.
Does that happen every day?
No, it does not happen every day.
Did that happen this morning?
She's great. Did not happen this morning. And she's absolutely great about it, but it's that I care enough about you to not be satisfied with okay. There's a better version of you out there, and let's chase it together, because everybody's going to benefit if you become that better version of yourself. And it's mutual. I have uttered the same words to her. Can I challenge you on that? Because it, I don't think that's who you're supposed to be.
Something tells me that she challenges you a lot more than you challenge her.
Probably.
Deservedly so.
Deservedly so. I think I deserve to be challenged more often. Absolutely.
Every now and then, I get to turn the tables, Gina. All right. That brings us up to the last one, which is the most fun one.
Yes.
And it's simply to celebrate our students.
Just celebrate our students.
I just love this one.
Absolutely. It ties into what we talked about here 2 weeks ago and in episode 56 with, you know, celebrating the kids to the parents. That would make a hero. But we also need to celebrate kids with our kids.
Yes.
Okay. The first thing is the most obvious, because we talked about it 2 weeks ago in episode 56, that when we celebrate our kids, we need to celebrate them to their parents.
Yes.
Their parents need to see the best version of their kids, and so we need to celebrate our kids in front of their parents.
I wrote that down this morning as something that I'm going to do this week. I have some of the student leaders from this past weekend were so awesome. Two of the girls shared in the main services about their friendship and how the youth ministry's impacted them. I'm going to call their parents and just say, hey, do you know how awesome we think your kids are? You know, just for that, to celebrate them.
Absolutely.
No other reason.
Yep. And then, I mean, you put them up in front of church too, right?
Yeah.
We need to celebrate our students in front of the church.
Absolutely.
We need to find opportunities to show everybody else, because great things happen in student ministry all the time. And a good portion of the time, the church is completely unaware.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Everybody's doing their own thing. And I get that. But we've got to find opportunities to lift these students up and say, church, look at this.
Yeah.
Celebrate this incredible thing that happened, or what this kid is doing, or what this kid did. And I think that's just really, really important.
And almost make it less of an exception. And this is more of this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
These students are the church, like you said. Look at what they're doing. Look at what we're all doing. But it just should be something that just happens
all
the time.
It's normal.
It's not just normal.
Stop the train. Everybody stop.
Can you believe?
A student did something great. We need to know. FYI, again, a student did something great. You know, let's celebrate that.
Celebrate it so much that it becomes normalized.
Becomes normal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We need to celebrate students with other students.
Sure.
We need to, in the context of our own ministry, when we have opportunity, we need to let students celebrate other students.
And there's simple ways to do that. I'm sure, you know, most youth workers are doing that. Hey, so-and-so got the lead in the musical. Let's all go see her perform. You know, congratulations to that kid for getting 1600 on his SATs. Right? Yeah. Well, that didn't happen.
You have a student that got 1600?
You know, just taking a moment in big group to celebrate certain accomplishments that happen in kids' lives is, I think, really valuable for them.
And
maybe looking for the less known kids,
exactly,
too.
I know that I saw you guys do this for a while. I don't know if you're still doing it, but the student spotlight on Instagram and Facebook, you know, let's celebrate this student for who they are. Not that they did something awesome. Yeah. They are awesome.
Yeah.
So let's celebrate them.
Yeah. That's so fun.
Absolutely.
That's so fun.
We can also advocate for them.
How so?
I think we advocate for them in the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
If a student is really talented at leading worship, playing an instrument and or singing, why are they also not leading worship with big church, as it's called in some contexts?
Yeah.
You know, just if they can lead down in the basement, they can lead upstairs.
I agree. That's such a cool thing, too. I think it just unleashes the power of the youth ministry to lead the church. Like, I really believe that youth ministry leads the church.
Sure.
I really believe that. We are at the cutting edge of culture, but we're also at the cutting edge of leadership development. And so when we advocate for our kids and provide opportunities for them to lead the greater body, it's not just great for the student. It's great for the church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our children's ministry has done a phenomenal job of that at our church, in that they have engaged our students at a really high level in their own ministry. And I'm saying beyond like, hey, we need warm bodies to hold babies in the infant room, or to be crowd control in, you know, the third grade classroom. Like, they're recruiting our students to do significant roles. Mm. Our students are the worship leaders in our children's ministry.
Oh, great.
And as soon as a couple of kids graduate, we're always looking for that next group of students who's going to come in and literally lead the children's ministry in worship.
Yeah.
In fact, they'll say that when we go to Peru, that it's a devastating Sunday for our children's ministry because we take half of their staff.
Yeah.
Out of the country, and yeah. they're scrambling. Like when the student ministry is gone, they can't function.
That's awesome.
Like that's beautiful to me because they're just meaningfully involved. They believe yeah. in them, and they celebrate them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Hopefully, this has been helpful.
Those are five ways. I'm sure you can think of 10 more, and if you can,
yeah.
tell us about them and tell our listeners about them by jumping on our Instagram or Facebook and just commenting that, hey, here's a way that I think you can be a hero student. And just let's help each other grow in the ability to be a hero to our students.
Let's see them. Let's hear them. Let's believe in them. Let's challenge them and let's celebrate them.
Wow. That would be
that's powerful.
That's just going to be powerful stuff. It's amazing yeah. stuff. So hopefully this was a great episode for you. We certainly had a blast doing it.
Yeah.
We will be back next week with episode 58.
We will.
Until then,
Sherpas
out.